crossfades.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show episode 261. Yeah. What are you doing?
Untwisting the mic. It's no better time than as you're doing the intro to untwist the mic, especially now that we've got video component of the show. I have watched back a couple of them, almost picking my nose in a few. Is that a thing?
Well, Brie was saying that the video does bring another element, visual element.
Yeah, what is
it? Well, she was just saying you've just got to be careful when you're talking about serious things, facial expression you're doing.
No, that is true. That is very true. I remember there was one show where you talked about something serious and then you approached it gently.
Yeah.
But then we were like, fuck, imagine if that was recorded for the faces. So she's onto it. We've got to – so how do we talk?
It brings another element to it.
It definitely does.
But, man, the one thing is still this heat thing, just getting hot. We turn off the aircon to do the show.
We're in an office that has no windows. There is a skylight above us, but that's just sending in heat. So we've got an aircon that's – It does the job, thanks to Scooter Derek, actually.
Yeah.
We'd be dead without Scooter Derek.
True.
You would be
We wouldn't
toasty.
Be in here, that's
you'd,
for sure.
You'd be on fire. Something else that happened here at the office this morning, I got in and I was firing from all cylinders, had to go to the toilet. Seems quite regular.
Is that what that means?
Probably not. Firing from all cylinders is a car reference.
I was firing from all cylinders at 4:30 this morning.
Wow.
I had tie last night.
You got up.
Got up at 4:30.
Nah, that's bad tie. That's well,
you're not, because otherwise it's quite weird.
Well, there's one thing I know about you. You're consistent.
Yeah, very
not
consistent.
Not in your emotional state, but your your bum state.
I feel like we're painting a picture of my emotional state. Do you really think that I'm unhinged?
Depends on when I get you, yeah. Which is why I love you. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I think I'm on. I think I'm maybe emotionally honest.
I will go with that.
Do you think?
Emotionally honest isn't a – it can't. That's not a criticism.
Yeah, but do you think that maybe I'm – what's the word?
If you wear your heart on your sleeve.
I lack self-control?
You don't lack self-control in some areas maybe, like we all do, but I think the self-control in – I don't want you to hide your emotions. I'd rather you be you. I'd rather you show me which Josh we've got for today.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I think that's the – I don't want you to come across like I think this is how bad stigma gets created around people who fluctuate
mental health issues. Is that what you're saying? I don't think I've got mental health issues. No, I've got a little. Everyone's got. You've got a bit of mental health issues.
100%. We all 100%. Do. You're emotionally honest. I appreciate it.
But the just quickly on because we had a meeting at the beginning of the year where we didn't think that we were going to do this client job, but the person asked if we would come in, so we sort of did them a favour and went in.
I love that I don't know this. It still hasn't twigged who it is, but I'm enjoying the story even more. Are you going to say it? You don't have to. It's a guessing game for me.
It's a guessing game. But anyway, the one person within the business clearly wanted to work with us in some way, someone who was sort of more senior, and then someone else was just sort of like questioning or they just didn't have a good tone that I didn't appreciate. And in that moment, I said, oh, look, I don't think we're the right fit. And it felt like it came from an emotional state. I felt like a heightened sense like of I'm about to tell them to go fuck themselves.
So
I said, look, I don't think that we are the sort of right fit for you.
Yeah.
Which sort of shut the whole thing down. I feel like because it was at the end of the conversation, we only had like 5 minutes left of the conversation. Do you think that I should have maybe played it out a little bit longer? Said, oh, yeah, we'll email because it was a real showstopper because we were talking about, oh, we could do this. Oh, maybe you guys could do that. Maybe you could send us an email.
Yeah.
And part of my frustration was that I don't like being asked, to quote for a project if – they haven't seen any of our work. If there's no buy-in for them, why are we sitting down with them?
I think a general rule of thumb, and I'm talking to myself here, if I was to take the foot off the emotion 10% in every interaction but also not act on it and just move away to then gather my thoughts,
yeah,
I would probably make a different decision. There is a reward in acting on the emotion in the moment because it feels good. How good did it feel?
Yeah.
Now I'm on to which one this was.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Like, I got a bit offended. Josh got a bit offended. And then Josh stepped up and I was like, yeah, Josh.
And we're high-fiving afterwards. Like, yeah, they were in the car just being like, yeah, yeah, fuck those people. We show them. But I feel like...
See, there's the reward. Yeah. There's that we've got gratification out of your action.
But I did something similar on the weekend on Sunday when Bree and I were in Williamstown having breakfast.
Yeah.
Because we're picking up a bowl from a friend in Coburg.
The bowl story made an appearance yesterday, but this is a new...
a new spin on it. No, but the but it turns out Bree thought that Williamstown was close to Coburg.
Yeah,
different bridge. Yeah, you have to go over. Anyway, so we went to Williamstown, did all of that, and when we're in Williamstown, we're reading books under a nice tree.
That's nice.
And I said,
very cute.
Yeah, I said to Bree, said, oh, should we head? And I'm like, can't we stay here for another 40? We still got 40 minutes of car parks.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, but don't we want to get the bowl? I'm like, oh, but Jack and Bianca said they had all day. And she's like, yeah, but I also want to go in the pool at your mum and dad's.
Oh, the Roeville pool's getting a run this summer.
Yeah. And so.
You haven't even invited me around.
The thing, I don't go in the pool. This is the thing. I don't use the pool.
Well,
I should use the pool, actually. Maybe tonight, given it's been so hot.
Is that an invitation? I'm not fucking.
You can, but you got to come to Roeville.
True. Not coming.
But anyway, so I said to Bree, I was like, oh, I was thinking we could just hang out for the day instead rather than just going straight home, because we're only at my parents' for another 3 days before we're then house-sitting and then having our own place. But I'm fucking over it. Like, mum and dad are great, but just like...
Sick of the cooking.
No, well, no, just the 20... like being 28. Being 28, you just don't want to spend time at your parents' place.
Yeah, yeah, I visit, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Living there is a probably different feeling.
And so... I said, oh, I was thinking Port Melbourne. Like we could have gone to Port Melbourne and gone for a walk.
Yeah.
And then Bree said, oh, that could have been nice. And so she'd sort of changed her tune a little bit. She went from, no, we've got to get back to, Port Melbourne could be nice. But then as we were driving from Coburg back to Roeville, which is like an hour for people playing at home, Bree said, we're on the freeway and we could exit onto Port Melbourne. She goes, oh, we'll go to Port Melbourne. I was like, nah.
You decided.
I've decided that I had made a call that, and it's weird because I wanted to go to Port Melbourne, and Bree was sort of saying like, "No, you are what is it called? Punishing."
Yeah.
I'm punishing her.
Yeah.
For making the wrong decision.
I've seen you do this, and do you think you is it like? Does it feel good?
It feels like, well, because my thing is that why I'm punishing both of us is because. I got pushback straight. The instant feeling was pushback.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, it's like, you know what? Based on that pushback, I've lost all interest in Port Melbourne. And then next time, maybe before the pushback, you'll think of it as a nice... Because I got hurt feelings. So I'm like, I wanted to spend a nice day. And then so we arrived in Roeville and we're like, well, we both wanted to go to Port Melbourne. So we ended up going to Port Melbourne in the Impala.
Okay.
So we ended up making it...
Yeah.
We turned it around, but it took the whole drive to Roeville and then me...
Yeah. I mean, you see, that's a high emotional state. For me, I've moments where I'm in bed and I've had a disagreement with my wife and I'm just... I feel like... I won't stop. My words will not stop because it's like
you. Is it always in the bed? Is that
you flow on to the next thing? And you go, no, listen, but you need to tell me. Like, and I feel like if I just fuck it, it's like go for a walk. That advice is like to the person that's feeling like that is just fucking infuriating.
But sometimes you like burning the house down.
Yeah, I know, but there's the reward to it. That is so the reward there. But I think the long term reward is taking. Your foot off the emotion and stepping away from the situation. I just know it works for me and I think it does for a lot of people. And so in those client meetings, as much as some of them, it actually serves us because we didn't want to do it anyway.
Well, that was the whole thing was the learning was, okay, about the emotional state thing, but it was also like a clear point of if we feel this way about a client before we go in, we probably shouldn't even have the meeting. Did you see that?
No,
flicker?
We're having flickering. It's from one of the lights here, the Mr. 97, the power input. You just make sure it's push it right in. Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
Also matching people's emotional states. Mm-hmm. Because if you bring something to the table,
yeah.
So unless they're meek and you've really run all over them, or they've had it done to them many times, they will probably elevate their emotional state. And so it's only fraught with fucking bad response from someone else, which we matched in that meeting because now I remember and I'm feeling the emotion. But I felt like a bit fucking offended from this person.
Yeah.
And then I could sense you were offended and then I brought it up and,
What were you going to talk about before I interrupted you?
So I got into work this morning, firing from all cylinders.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. How did we get from Ty?
I don't know, mate. That's the daily talk show.
Yeah.
A lot of banter. Sitting on the toilet, doing a bit of a scroll. And so I'm looking at my phone. Don't fucking judge me because I use my phone on the toilet.
90% of people do.
Yeah.
And 19% of people have dropped it in the toilet.
Yeah, I haven't dropped it.
I don't know
iPhone.
Where I heard that fact. That was a podcast. Sorry, I can't remember which podcast.
I dropped one of the old school phones.
Like a Nokia.
One of the Nokias. And anyway, I'm sitting there scrolling and just my peripheral just sensed some movement.
You were in the toilet?
Yeah, like at the door. And I was like, okay, no one's in here because the noise of the door hasn't just gone, you in here? And anyway, there's none of that. And so I sort of just was like, okay, there's movement. I won't look up yet. Still scrolling. And I look up and there's a little fucking mouse just looking at me. And I was like, oi!
You said oi?
Yeah, I just kind of like kicked my legs up and it ran off. But it was, that was my start to the day. A little mouse coming to say hi while I'm taking a dump.
Well, I had an animal related incident as well.
Mate.
No, so I was walking. No,
it was at 4:30. The animal arose at 4:30 a.m. this morning.
I was walking along Sackville Street, if you must know, in Collingwood. And I was walking like just along the path and this fucking dog barked at me right when I got to the gate and I fucking jumped, like big jump. And then I looked and it was a small dog.
Yeah, little
and
mutt.
So straight away I was like, I need to do something. Like my instant response was emotional state. No, it's like do something, like fucking yell at it.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of when I was in high school. I remember there was a dog barking at me as I was crossing this thing. And so I started barking back. Anyway, the owner came out and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I look like a fucking maniac. Yeah. I was like barking at a dog.
Tail between
your
fucking
legs. Literally, that was my, like when that dog did that, it was a little bit like I was ready to do like that A Current Affair style. Remember that dude? Like,
I will say I've barked back at dogs, but swearing also. Because the moment you're scared, like swearing in response to things, not in client meetings, but when like pain, swearing reduces pain.
Oh, sure. Did you, I don't think I've told you, my friend who is a dog owner, she was walking on her own and her neighbor's dog bit her.
That's fucked.
On the leg.
Like savage like bite? Bleeding?
Like, broke skin.
Oof.
And so she ended up telling the owner and the owner didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to put the dog down, surely.
Nah. How savage was it? What kind of a dog? I think
it was like one of those like.
So I got bitten at a park when I was young. Nothing bad. Jules Lund, he's got a scar on his face. He got bitten by a dog.
That's right.
So mine has nothing like that. But I got bitten. The woman who used to own this trendy homewares shop in Bratton. This is how funny is that the only reason I know is because mum was like, oh, she's the one that shop.
Oh, really? We're taking the shop.
And so every time I walked past, I was like, that fucking mutt. And the dog just ran
and
up.
And also the dog.
The dog jumped up. This fucking thing jumped up and just nipped my side and drew blood. But I was always, it's not much unless it really harms.
Could you fight with a dog?
Dude, when I think about, because kids, my son, when I'm near, like he loves dogs.
Yeah.
And they've got no filter. They're slapping them and walking up, just doggy, doggy. He gets really close. And so my foot is just ready.
For a kick.
For a kick. Like, it's so funny because you think as a, I hadn't had that thought of a parent, as a parent until I'm a parent.
Yeah, I get
like
it.
Anything.
I understand.
But I was like, I actually would kick that dog flat in the head, which I love dogs.
Yeah.
Hate cats. I'd probably crack a cat's neck. No, cats are all right, but I'm allergic to them, so I hate them.
All cats, probably not.
Majority of cats I'm allergic to, some aren't.
So sweaty.
Yeah, you are pretty sweaty. But you'd definitely kick your dog in the head for your kid.
You'd kick your dog if you had a dog, I guess so.
Yeah, I reckon I would. I'd kick a dog in the head for you.
I appreciate it.
If you
it.
Were getting mauled, I would absolutely fly kick it.
I appreciate it.
That's the friendship we have.
I'll kick
a dog in the head for you, bro.
Got some emails.
We did.
We got one from Ash. Ash had sent us an email. She was the
Ash is another one that fell for the trick.
An investment.
A solid investment.
No, Ash had emailed us previously about the fact that she'd bought a coin similar to mine.
Well, this came out. This was on yesterday's episode.
Bree was trolling me. I said, I got my coin. She goes, oh, great. Show me. It must be in your pocket.
Good. Thank you, Bree. And where was it?
It was on my desk in the little little area. But I think it's. I would definitely start doing that. But
the reality is you'll see it more because you're at your desk more. You're not constantly checking your pockets.
Yeah. It's just where I think it will be annoying is at the gym.
Or going through security.
No, security I sort of like the obscurity.
Or being international. Like I mean, I could come up with 100 reasons why it's dumb and why it will be an issue and where it will be an issue. But that's not what we're speaking of because we've actually got a supporter of the coin, Ashley.
Ash said, hi, Josh and Tommy. Josh, I'm so excited you received your coin. I'm attaching pictures of two coins I carry. I already told you about the larger one. Josh, I really hope it helps you in your daily life like mine has. I really like the – so she's got the big one. So mine says Memento Mori, which means you could leave – life right now, so aka
you're going to die.
You're going to die.
You could die, so live life. I get it. And then Amora Fati.
So she's got one fatty. Says that's a more fatty, which is not merely to bear what is necessary, but love it.
Mm. It's. I mean, the attachment to a physical item to spark a thought is good. Maybe there's a coin out there that's for when you're blowing up, when you're in that emotional state, it's just a handbrake. Just pull the handbrake, bro.
Throw the coin at them. Could you imagine if I had something that was visual that I did every time that I was going to blow up? Like say we're in a meeting and I just go, and someone's like, what is Josh doing? It's like, oh, he's about to blow up, but he's he's controlling himself.
I mean, the breathing.
I know when you're anxious, based on you do this. And so I'll ask you things. I'm like, what do you think about this? And so you go, yeah, I think it's great. I know that there's some slight anxiety.
I'm as conscious as you are in your emotional state because sometimes I don't even know that I'm doing it.
I think the thing is that I can actually – I've gotten good enough now that I can see it. Mm. I can identify it, but I haven't gotten good enough to stop it.
Pull the handbrake.
Talking about pull the handbrake, I nearly had a car accident yesterday.
It was only yesterday that I said – was it yesterday or the day before where I was like, who's the better driver? Never had a crash to my record.
Yeah, but I feel like that's out of luck. I've actually had one car accident before. I reversed into a truck.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, it was parked. It was someone who I hadn't seen in years. I was dropping off something to their house and I reversed into the truck. Anyway, I had just got my license. Yeah. But no, I –
it's a very 18-year-old P-plater move.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, what's this button do?
Yeah. And so I yesterday, it was scary as fuck. I was going out of an intersection. I was just so – I had undereaten. Mm-hmm. I'd eaten a boiled egg, which you provided me, which was delicious, by the way. Bree said, did you have any seasoning on it? I said, no.
No.
Didn't need seasoning.
Shredders. We're just
Balkan, I don't think it needs Balkan it. Bree. Shredophile.
Not a time to say that.
No. Why?
What he's done is brought an in-joke that Conspiracy Jimmy and I have.
Shredophile. I don't get it.
I don't even want to go there, dude. We will on another episode.
What does it mean?
Shredophile. We've built a personality around a dude who is goes to the gym but is also a pedophile. So you've
I thought it was someone.
Like dude, if you have obsessed with his body but he's also a pedophile.
Well, so he's a shredophile. Take that back. No, but a shredophile.
Take it back.
But a shredophile could. I thought it would have meant someone who's upset. Like, if you're a UFO file.
I've never heard that. But
well, no, isn't that like a way of describing someone obsessed?
Maybe, but the shredophile.
What is actually
that
pedophile?
We
does What does pedophile actually mean? What do you think it means?
Someone who is overage that forces...
No, it's actually not.
What is it?
It's this a person who is sexually attracted to children. This is the video thing, because when we were talking about HIV yesterday, which was serious, Brie was like,
"Okay,
be careful.
Pedophiles, it's not funny. The persona of a dude that goes to the gym that you think is a great-looking guy who's got big muscles but is also a pedophile, he's a shredophile."
Mm.
And so that was where it was like you could imagine that type of person, that type of dude who's like all about his body but is also hiding a lot.
What do you think
from his mates at the gym? And he's a shredophile.
Do you think there is...
So fucked up.
Do you think that there is when you become a parent...
Yeah.
Pedophile jokes become less funny? Because I find that when I was a teenager, pedophile jokes were funny because it was like we felt like...
I'm not going to lie, some of them still are.
Yeah.
But if I get it. As a parent, they hold more weight to me, where as much as I might laugh, I also think, holy fuck, I've got a
kid. If you attach it to the actual reality of it, it's fucked.
You bring some life to it within your own world.
And that's what I think about. It's like people who maybe have like experienced that shit, that's what you got to consider, I guess. Mm. Like having a joke. But then even like I remember making jokes to friends when I was younger, and then they started crying or whatever, and I asked them, they had a whole fucking backstory of shit that had happened to them.
Mm. So sorry if the shredophile
was offensive.
Term was offensive. It's not meant to be. It was an in joke
that I brought. So this is the thing. This is the example. Like I tend to do that.
I need to admit though the car thing. So as much as I've never had a car accident. And I noticed this morning when I stopped in to get petrol from the service station, that I quite forcibly pulled on the handbrake.
While
as
still I driving?
No. As I'd parked.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I've got, and Amy's pulled me up heaps about this. We've got an automatic car.
Mm-hmm.
An automatic car, if it's in park, it won't roll because it's in park. It's like, it cannot roll.
Yeah.
There'd have to be something severely wrong with the car. If you left it in neutral, sure. But sometimes if you're on a flat
or... But you'll sometimes see, I notice if you put it into park and you don't have the handbrake, you get out of the car, you'll notice the...
A slight movement, but it does lock. There is a point, and I don't know, maybe different, it could be...
But it's probably wearing down something.
So, yeah, I think it'd be good to engage the handbrake, but that's what Amy pulls me up about, not engaging the handbrake. Yeah. In most instances, pop into the car park, or the shopping centre, just whack it in park, get out. I had a manual car where you learn pretty quickly to fucking rip that handbrake on. The one gronk piece of behaviour that I demonstrated was at a petrol station, which is why I have the fear of handbrakes in petrol stations. I was at a 7-Eleven petrol station and I...
I love 7-Eleven.
I had a big weekend and I just like... If you've ever had a massive weekend, bit of a bender...
Yeah.
Lots of no sleep and
the coffee and petrol is actually out of the same pump as well, which is
no, not that far. That wasn't my gronk behavior. So I was cloudy and I just literally pulled in, got petrol, walked inside, got a Slurpee, came back out to my car. I'm like, what the fuck? I look right and there's this guy running with – he's running with my car. The reason he's running with the car is because he's a fucking dude who was fixing something in the ground and my car's rolling towards the hole that was exposed.
You fucking idiot.
It wasn't a massive hole, but what the worst thing was, it fucking ran over some part and bent this part. And he'd stopped my car and had gone under the slowed it down was a witch's hat. And so I've run over and fucking ripped on the handbrake in the car. He's like stop it from the hole. This is 7 years ago.
Oh, okay. Not your recently. Car.
This is my
this is the manual.
The old manual.
Uh-huh.
And the takeaway was for me was fucking pull your handbrake on all the time at a petrol station. Mm-hmm. That should be extended to everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I was paranoid because he's like, look, man, I'm going to have to get your number. And I'm thinking, no, this part that I've run over is like going to be thousands and thousands of dollars. Like,
did he ever get back to you?
Never.
Oh, lucky.
Never contacted me. But because as I got older, I was like, nah, it'd be like if a piece of camera equipment at a shoot got run over. the dude who ran it over isn't going to pay for it. If we were even doing a shoot, like our insurance pays for it. So, I mean, but then you still
the insurance, that insurer might come after the person.
True, but it's, I mean, you're in it. That's the chance of something like that happening. So pull your handbrakes, brakes on your gronks.
You should always do it.
Yeah.
My parents' car actually went down their driveway when we were kids.
Solid gronk
and
move.
Went across the road into the neighbor's front yard. And then when they were trying to sell the car, my brother, who was just a kid at the time, was James was telling the potential buyer the story. And my parents were like, shut the fuck up, James. But what happened with me was it was an intersection where I had to look left and right. Yeah. And I just fucked up the timing on the right and drove out as the car nearly got T-boned and had to put my foot down and turn. I was screeching that to slam on the brake. But it was one of those ones where it's like they came to a stop. I managed to get around. No one got hit. And so you just sort of drive along.
And you're off.
And so I ended up pulling over straight away and getting Bree to drive because I was tired.
What's worse, being just being ravisome.
Just hear my groin crack?
Yeah, was it your groin?
Yeah, I just did that.
What is your groin? Huh? How does that do that? How does your groin crack?
You know how you do the stretch. Anyway, go on.
What's more dangerous, being severely hungry, driving, or being
drunk?
Severely full. Because I've seen.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Drunk, don't fucking drink and drive.
Yeah.
But
hungry.
Yeah?
Because like...
You fall apart when you've eaten a lot too. There's a lot of moaning.
Like that's pretty next level. Like okay, I've gone to Mexican Cantina in Narre Warren, Rebound Court.
And
look
after the old social media manager.
Yeah. They actually gave me... that's when you know you feel like you're a fucking baller. Went into Arrett, who owns Mexican Cantina.
Met him. Lovely bloke.
He's like, Josh, have you tried the jalapeno poppers?
Ooh.
I'm like, nah, mate. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll bring some out. And he brought them out or whatever. And then he said, these are on me. I was like, fuck, I've made it. Yeah. This is what it feels. This is what 15-year-old.
He's got his plug on the podcast. Exactly. He'd looked into it.
Check out the jalapeno poppers at Mexican. They're beautiful. They're an amazing addition.
That's an endorsement. That's an honest endorsement if I've ever heard one.
But their La Combination is very good.
Combination.
I actually got in my friend used to work at Mexican Cantina. Her name's Steph. And I asked if she could find out how they made the beef, the shredded beef. And she was trying to find out. Yeah. And Arrett's like, nah, because he's going to fucking make it at home.
So I asked Tommy D, one of my good mates.
Yeah.
Been mates for a long time. And I thought we were pretty close.
How to make the waffles?
Not close enough to know the waffle recipe.
Would he not give you the waffle recipe?
He wouldn't give me the recipe.
That was his whole business of Patch sold on the waffle recipe.
No, that was
the foundation.
That was Uber Eats kept Patch alive for the waffles.
Yeah,
but
I had
he wouldn't
so
give
many.
Them to me. You can't get the secret sauce.
Surely he would give it to us
spices.
Now, do you think?
I hope so. I mean, he doesn't own the cafe anymore.
Yeah. Another email from.
This is just to finish off because we've got the wrap up from
M-Dog. From Marie. Hey Josh, happy new year. Heard you'd left social media. She wants to know my thoughts on that. On the latest podcast, you guys were chatting about unhealthy habits, self-management, New Year's resolutions. Totally agree. There's not one size fits all approach. A friend and I were talking about similar things, including what motivates people to overcome procrastination and build good habits. And we came up with a fun little project called Diddly. It's diddly.co. DIDLY.co. Anyway, Diddly helps people achieve goals using money as a motivation. You set a goal, set a deadline, and set a price. If you don't achieve your goal by said deadline, we take the money and give it to charity. No pain, no gain.
That's a fucking good idea.
It is great.
We're about to run out of time here. Okay. I love that idea. Diddly.co.
Diddly.co. Yeah. Tomorrow, let's talk about resolutions. If this is... if you're listening to the podcast and haven't checked out the video, give that a crack too. It's just youtube.com/thedailytalkshow and give us a subscribe.
Or email us hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Cool. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
Bye.